Blog Talk Radio.
This is Death Yells, and we are on the air, and we just want to pray right now, thanking God for everything that He's done for us. Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for the power and the authority of Your Word. We just thank You for saving us, Father, for giving us everything we need to destroy the works of Satan right now. And we just speak life today, Father. We speak life into every person that is on the show tonight. We just praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We just praise You for all things. Thank You, Father, for just loving us unconditionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want to thank God for all of you that are here. And hopefully we can get the station on the air. We're having some problems with it, but we're on there. We would just thank God for it, that we can touch the lives of other people, that we can bring people to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amazing love, laying down Your
Amen. It's love. Brother Shannon?
Yes. I want to take my text from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 33. So get your Bible and follow along with me. It's in the red, Jesus talking. He said, "No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Now, I'm going to discuss lamps in the Bible when they're used figuratively, not literally, but figuratively. Number one is God in 2 Samuel 22:29. He said, "For thou art my lamp." This is what the psalmist said here. He said, "God is my lamp. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." No matter how dark things may be, the Lord is our lamp, and he will lighten our darkness. Number two is the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 says, "And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings, thundering, and voices." This is what's going on at the throne of God in heaven. "And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." This is talking about the Holy Spirit here. And the third one is God's Word. In Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The psalmist here, he said that the Word of God is a lamp unto his feet. In other words, it gives light and it gives a direction and it shows us where to go and how to build our life, and we will have success and prosper if we'll build our life on the Word of God. He said, "And a light unto my path." We're on a path of righteousness because of the Word of God, and it's a lamp unto our feet. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp." In other words, God's commandment. "And the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the way of life." You can read the book of Proverbs, and it will give us instruction in what to do in life and what not to do in life and how to avoid problems in life. And you can read one chapter of Proverbs for each day of the month. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Number four is salvation. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, he said, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Notice that. Righteousness therefore goeth forth as brightness. We are righteous, not by our own works. Our own righteousness are as filthy rags. We've been given the gift of righteousness when we became born again, and we're clothed with Jesus' righteousness, and that made us as righteous as God himself. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number five is man's life. Job chapter 18, verse 6 says, "The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." In other words, light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. And in Job chapter 21, verse 17 says, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out?" In other words, he's saying the candle of the wicked is put out. "And how oft cometh their destruction upon them?" God distributes sorrow in his anger. It don't pay to be wicked. It pays to be born again. Psalm 28, 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." It is God that will light our candle. And it is Lord our God. He will enlighten my darkness. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 says, "Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." All these scriptures here is speaking figuratively. And number six is man's spirit. And in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We are a three-part being. The real us is a spirit. We have a soul, that is our mind, will, emotions, and intellect, and we live in a body. When we die, the only thing that dies is the physical body. Our spirit man and our soul will go somewhere, either to be with God or go to hell. Here it said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." In other words, our spirit man is the candle of the Lord. Number seven is a king. 1 Kings 15:4 says, "Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem." It was God that gave in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. And in Psalm chapter 132:17 says, "There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed." It is God that's ordained a lamp for his anointed. And if we are in Christ, washed in the blood of Jesus, we are also his anointed. And one more verse, be my last one, is number eight, is man's eye. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." We need to watch what our eyes look upon. We need to watch what goes into our ears, and we need to watch what we think upon, because our eye gate and our ear gate will, and what we think on will get down in our heart. And the Bible says it is the heart that defile, and he said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh," and so on. Well, these are figurative things that in the Word of God concerning lamps found in the Word of God. Well, I'm done. I love you. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that message. Amen. God is light, and we have the light of God inside us.
My heart, my faith, my savior, no one.
than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to look at something here out of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. We're going to talk about righteousness tonight, justness. It is not our righteousness, it is God's righteousness that was given to us. We have the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to receive righteousness. We don't earn righteousness, we receive righteousness that was given by God. You know, if you look at verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So when we got born again, we became new. We were new. When we got born again, we were new creations because of Jesus Christ. Not because we were so good, it's because he is good. In verse 21 it says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made right. We didn't earn righteousness. We were made right. Righteousness is right standing with God, given by Jesus Christ, and lived through Christians by the Holy Spirit. As we study and pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, minds are renewed to think like Jesus Christ, who does everything that pleases God the Father. As we please him, the fulfillment of righteousness starts flushing out things that will hinder our walk with him. This process takes time. Flushing creates a hunger. Remember, your product of praise God, we are back. We have some technical problems here as part of technology. But as we were talking about SNPs, we are right because Christ did, because of what we've done to the area and
we're having problems with the station, but as we were talking about righteousness, righteousness comes from God. No one knew what righteousness was but God. So God gave us righteousness before we could be righteous. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So you are right because of what God did through Jesus Christ at the cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he died for our sins. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, our righteousness were sealed. We had eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And we got to remember that our lives, we are here with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the devil don't want us to know that we are born again. So he uses all kinds of lies to try to stop us from receiving our blessings. It's kind of like somebody giving you some money and you reject that money because they think that you want something for that money. And that's the way it is with eternal life. There are a lot of people who are rejecting Jesus Christ, their salvation, their way to heaven through Jesus Christ, because they believe that they can work their own way to heaven. They believe there's something they can do to have eternal life. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. In chapter 10 of Romans, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. These were people who thought they were saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Many Christians today are letting the devil rob them. They don't realize they are the righteousness of God. And there are a lot of non-Christians who are trying to work their way into acceptance by God. But he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. In other words, they are rejecting the righteousness of God because it don't look like them. It don't smell like them. It don't sound like them. They didn't devise the codes and all of that, so they can't accept Jesus Christ. He didn't come riding on a white horse. He didn't come with crowns on his head. He came as a man willing to serve humanity. So they couldn't understand that. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So when I believe, when I confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and I believe that God the Father raised him from the dead, I am born again. I am saved. I have the righteousness of God. And I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. Now I want to please God. I want to live that life before God. I want to be a clean temple of God. The Bible says, know you not that you are the temples of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. All of this we got because God gave it to us. And all we have to do is receive it. I don't care how much money someone gives you. It's never going to be yours until you accept that money. You may be starving to death, and somebody offers you some food, and you decide, I don't have the money to pay for this food. And they are telling you it is free. We give it to you because we love you. It don't cost anything. And here you die of starvation because you didn't have the money to pay for something that was given to you free. There are going to be a lot of people who die and wake up in the lake of fire because they rejected something that was free, something that only God could have given. They think that they are working their way in, and they're going to discover that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We're saved by his grace, his mercy. And Ephesians, the second chapter of Ephesians, 2:8-1, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We were shaped by God. Everything we've got is because of God. It's not something we could have worked for. It's not something we could have deserved. We can't work for it. We can't buy it. We have to receive it. Let me read that again in Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We are created to do good works. Adam was created in the image and likeness of God to do good works. And when we got born again, we were recreated to be like God, to do good works. We're not here to do the works of the devil. We're here to do the works of God. And so as Christians, we are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. We're not going to be the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. So now we need to live right because we are the righteousness of God. So a dog don't bark to be a dog. He barked because he is a dog. So we live right because we are righteous, not to be righteous. We got to understand that. It's hard for us to understand it because we don't know the spiritual applications of it. That Adam sinned against God. He sinned against God. And God threw him out of the Garden of Eden. He threw him out of his kingdom and sent Jesus to die for him, to redeem him back. Amen. To redeem him back. We were redeemed. Redeemed. Re means to do over. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5:20, "For I say to you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven with the righteousness of the world. That's what the Pharisees and scribes, they was trying to have the righteousness of the law. They was rejecting the righteousness of God. By rejecting Jesus Christ, he is the righteousness of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life." You're not going to have eternal life outside of Jesus Christ. You won't have it. There's no way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, verse 3, "No one calls Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God, and no one says that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So what we're telling you tonight, you'll never be able to get the things of God without God. God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit made us in his own image, after his own likeness. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to redeem us. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So God created us. God redeemed us. And God lives inside of us so we can live a righteous life. We can live, we can do what's right because of the God who lives inside of us. You're not going to do what's right without God. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants us to accept what he has already done for us. We'll be back.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him.
Could worship such a God. Jesus says, neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. My God, the spirit of truth inside of you leads you to worship God. The things you do at work is a worship to God. The way you treat people, that's a worship to God. The way you treat your mate is a worship to God. It's not just going to church and singing songs, but it is a worship to God everywhere you go, because you are the temple of the living God. You are the righteousness of God. And you must not be ashamed to proclaim that righteousness that came from God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are saved because God loved us. We're not saved because of what we've done. We're saved by what he has done on our behalf. And we receive that gift of eternal life through his grace. And I pray that you will understand that. As a Christian, you need to understand you are the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You're not going to be. You are the righteousness of God. And you're only going to feel good about who you are when you're able to live that life through the Holy Spirit. By listening to the Holy Spirit, you learn to live the life that you were made to live. You were made to do what's right. You were made to worship God. You were made to praise God. And you need to learn that lesson. You were made to love God. You were made to love him. Remember that. It wasn't something you did. It was something he did on your behalf. And I want you to know that. I want you to know, without God, without the power of God in your life, you cannot live this life. You cannot live a life that you know nothing about. You can only live what you know. In other words, when you realize I am the righteousness of God, you'll want to live that life for God. You will want to live the righteous life, because it makes you feel good when you can please God, when you can just bring God, just bring him your blessings, your worship, your praising. Keep that in mind, that you are more than just a person. You are a victorious person through Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Not because you're righteous, it's because he made you righteous. And I want you to realize that. I want you to realize who you are in Christ. You are a new creation. You have been created to be like God. You haven't been created to be God, but to operate and live like him. And I want to thank you tonight for being a part of this program. I know we had some difficulties, but that's part of life. Satan is, he don't like for us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it don't matter We do it anyway because we love God. I don't want anything to stop me from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love God. I care about God. And I'm going to preach his word no matter what. If it costs me my life, I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It brings people to God. Praise God.
what other folks might say.
May the grace of God and the love of Jesus, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you forever. Good night. God bless you.